Technorama episode 538, the corner of crazy and not right.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Quick, there's an infant in the studio, and she just did what infants do.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, welcome to Technorama. You are in for a very special show. Well, at least we like to think so. And if you are returning, well, it's still going to be a special show. They're all special. Everyone's special on the show. I am Chuck Tomasi from sunny Phoenix, Arizona. And joining me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Well, I am super special.
No, you can't be more than special.
Really?
Everyone is special in their own way, Craig.
That's true.
Also joining us in the binary studio, we have three of the Mangan family.
Yes. Hey.
Including Tiffany.
Hey.
And familiar voice, Jack. And a new voice to the podcast scene.
Hi.
Their daughter, Holly. I don't... She's on camera, but I don't know if her heavy breathing is enough to trip the gate on the microphone.
That was my heavy breathing.
Oh, yeah, it was Jack.
We're starting them young.
Yes.
She's mugging the camera now. Yes. Go for it, kiddo.
This
is going to be an interesting show, I'll tell you that much. How you been, Craig?
I've been good. A lot of things going on, a lot of wheels turning. Actually, things have been like at work a little slow because of the holidays, so it's all been kind of nice.
Anything interesting?
There's always something interesting.
Did you get anything done that you wanted to do over the 4th of July holidays?
No, unless you know something I don't.
I don't know. Okay, well, you know, some people use it as downtime, some people use it as catch-up time.
Oh no. Well, I didn't do a whole lot over the 4th, you know, we went over my parents and stuff like
yes.
that and shot off a few fireworks, but and no, I didn't do anything.
It was your wife's birthday, yes?
Yes. Today is my wife's birthday, the day we're recording this, and
uh-oh, are you in trouble for doing the show instead of being with her?
Oh, no. We've been celebrating. We're done. It's
okay,
all good.
I'm not asking any more questions about the celebration than that.
Start that. No, actually, it's funny because I posted it. She's not really big into Facebook, but I posted on Facebook because I had this great picture of the cake I made, and the candles look like they're about to start, you know, a forest fire.
Yeah, so we're not allowed to light cakes like that in Arizona.
Yeah, so, yeah.
We're on a drought state warning law. Thing here.
Yeah. So, anyway, I thought, okay, I'm going to post it. And I posted on there, and it's like my comments blew up. Everybody started wishing her happy birthday, which is kind of cool.
Oh, good. Good, good, good.
Happy birthday to her.
How about the Mangan family? Have you been, did you have a wonderful holiday as well?
We did.
Yeah. You know, we're busy. We're dazed. I don't, you know, what's today? What holiday? Yeah, no, it was nice. We actually watched fireworks in the driveway. Baby slept through it. Labor Day. but it's been nice. Thank you.
All right. Good, good, good. Well, we had a question last week, and it seemed like we had just as many participants this week for our question of the week as we did last week.
Yeah, speaking of blowing up the comments.
That question last week was, if you could change your name to a number, what number would you be? And we're not going to have time to go through all of them, but there were a number of clever responses.
Number? There were a number of them?
I see what you did there.
Let's count them up.
One beautiful comment.
I thought about going there, actually. That's my response.
Oh, in the comments, that would have been good. What number would you be? I would be the count. Then you could have all the numbers you want. Cynthia Fry, friend of the Deadpan Podcast, a.k.a. Sinful, wrote 3.14159 because she always wanted to be a little irrational at times. Tanya Rosenthal jumps in with 42. Jill Marie Weingarten wrote 1, and then who was it that wrote back and said, but that's the loneliest number? And, oh, boy.
And that was awkward after that.
Pilly Flint, it was Stan Seeler, our docent from the Computer History Museum years ago. Billy Flynn wrote, I'm not a number, I'm a free man.
Which is a good answer. Very good.
Joel McLaughlin, of course, longtime listener to the show, writes 101. Dwight Dunlop is also a 42, but N. Wilson Stringer was inverted and she said 24. I'm not sure what that was all about.
maybe that was an age that she wanted to be. I don't know.
Several people, included our friend Victor Cahiao, wrote an 8675309.
Right.
And I we
didn't say not a phone number, so.
Right. It was any number. I couldn't help resisting and saying, for crying out loud, Jenny hasn't had this number in 15 years. Stop calling. Worst right. cell phone number ever. Uh-oh, I clicked something and it went forward to somebody's profile. Oh, my goodness. Craig, did you find any that were humorous in there?
Yeah, I thought, well, actually it was more of a sweet thing. Tiffany's, and she's right there beside you, said 67890 to complete my main squeeze, Jack. Oh.
6789.
I didn't see Jack's, but I assume he put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, Jack put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, I guess you could say that's a compliment then. if we're going to do bad number puns, let's go for it. Oh, someone, I was wondering if anybody was going to get that, the numbers from Lost.
Oh, yeah. Clever.
That was good. Oh,
yeah.
And we also had Scott Tyler wrote 999999999999999888888888877777.
I think his keys got stuck.
No, I asked him this in church today, and he said, well, that's because if people want to call him, what do you call you? What do they call you for short? And he says, 999, which of course is German for no, no, no. Troy Hillier got mine. He said square root of -1 because, you know, that's an imaginary number. And I always wanted imaginary numbers. We did a number set once when we were in high school. We took the imaginaries and the irrationals, and then we came up with the totally illogical number set and the you can't prove it number set.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Melissa A. Bartel just wrote a Greek number or Greek symbol, phi.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yes, we have a Fibonacci sequence in here, too.
Huh. I'll see, view more comments. There's a lot of comments. If you got to click view more. Okay. Let's see.
Heather Welliver, a 777-1111. Now, I would have gone for 777-9311, which is a song by The Time.
I'm surprised nobody put 1138.
225-1282. I think that's Melissa Olala's phone number when she lived in Marquette, Michigan.
What?
Because she's the sister of my friend Phil, and I'm almost certain that was Phil's number when we were kids.
Wow. Okay.
Joe wrote 37, but he wrote it twice, so I'm not sure if there was a number in there. Wayne Pittenger says 1, 2, 5, 3, sir, 3. Lots of good fun with that one this week. We have another question coming up at the end of the show for you. Love to hear your thoughts on that one when we get to it. But first, should we do the history thing? Yes. The answer is yes, because it's next. Oh. All right. Sure. Roll your D20s.
Oh. Right.
Tiffany had to step out.
I'll roll for her.
Are you going to read for her, too? Did she make it back in time?
All right. We'll here see. We go.
I got a 12.
Ooh. A 19.
I got a 21.
Wait.
I got a square root of -1. Imagine that. Ah!
No, I got a 7 and Tiffany got a 5. But you know what? I'll take the 5. She can have the 7.
Was that Chuck? You stepped on a rake and got hit in the face.
Sorry, I can't do my sideshow Bob rake in the face All right, so it's Craig, Chuck, Tiffany, Jack. We'll go kind of that way.
All right.
So let's start the music. It's going to be a long one, folks. We might run out of music. I should have put the longest clip I've got on here. On this day in history for July 11, 2018, this is the 192nd. Oh, we're past the halfway mark. Oh, man.
Whoa.
That went fast. In the Gregorian calendar, there are 173 days remaining in 2018. Oh, that one first should have been bulleted. Apologies for me. Go ahead, Craig.
Oh, I guess I'll read that one then. Okay, it was on this date in 1405 that Ming Admiral Zheng. Set sail to explore the world for the first time.
Also today,
around as I was trying to read it.
Also to see what it's like. Also today in 1576, Martin Frobisher sights Greenland. Didn't he? Wasn't he the guy that came up with those travel booklets?
The name sounds familiar.
It's a lonely planet. Also on July 11, 1735, mathematical calculations suggest that it is on this day that dwarf planet Pluto moved inside the orbit of Neptune for the last time before 1979.
Wow. It needed a temporary place to stay.
All right, are we going with Jack reading as Tiffany, or are we going to go to Craig? We're not sure where we're going yet.
Yeah, whatever you got. All right, I can go next.
Fill in four, man.
All right.
Blank.
I'm not going to do the Monty Python high pitch. It was on this date in 1917. Yeah. No, I'm not going to do the Monty Python voice.
I don't like spam.
Bush, dear. All right. It was on this date in 1796 that the United States takes possession of Detroit from Great Britain under terms of the Jay Treaty.
And immediately regretted the decision.
Send him to Detroit.
We're giving it back. You can have it back. Yeah. We're done.
We oversold this one. Sorry. On that same date in 1801, French astronomer Jean-Louis Pons makes the first comet discovery. In the next 27 years, he discovers another 36 comets, more than any other person in history.
He gets the Comet Award.
Yes.
July 11th, 1848, Waterloo Railway Station in London opens. Hey, that's not far from where our hotel was.
Nice. 129 years ago today, Tijuana, Mexico is founded.
Hey, there you go, Julio, if you're still listening. Julio's from Tijuana.
Nice. I'll go again. July 11th, 1893, the first cultured pearl is obtained by Kokichi Mikimoto.
The rest of them were just totally uncultured. Couldn't take them out to
swines.
Dinner or anything.
They're pearls before
uncultured
swine.
Oh, wait, that's my turn.
Yes.
Brothers Auguste Louis Lumiere demonstrate movie film technology to scientists on this date in 1895.
You need to watch more Disney, buddy.
Wasn't that the candlestick?
Yes, Lumiere is a candle. Very good. That's what I'm saying.
What'd I say? How'd I say it? I don't know.
We're going to keep going. 121 years ago today, Solomon August André leaves Spitsbergen to attempt to reach the North Pole by balloon. He later crashes and dies.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow, he's on top of it.
To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee is first published in the United States on this date in 1960. Also on July 11th, 1962, Project Apollo. At a press conference, NASA announces Lunar Orbit Rendezvous as the means to land astronauts on the moon and return them to Earth.
It was also on this date in 1962 that the first transatlantic satellite television transmission happened.
I guess my parsing algorithm let you down there.
I was like, wait, that's not a complete sentence.
On July 11, 1972, the first game of World Chess Championship in 1972 between challenger Bobby Fischer and defending champion Boris Spassky starts.
Nice. 41 years ago today, Martin Luther King Jr. is posthumously awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Also today in 1979, America's first space station, Skylab, is destroyed as it re-enters the Earth's atmosphere over the Indian Ocean.
Doesn't it seem like that just happened? I remember watching Saturday Night Live, and they took, what was it, the soup can and mashed it into the globe? He goes like this.
Oh, I remember as a kid being scared, thinking it was falling, you know, from the sky, where it would go.
Well, part of it did fall on Australia. And anyway. Yeah.
I actually thought Darth Vader was involved somehow.
PTV is introduced as a kids programming block for PBS to broadcast educational programming to underprivileged children on this date in 1994.
I've never heard of PTV. Have you?
Yeah, it's the logo's on all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Happy birthday goes out in this date to Swedish chemist and mineralogist Johan Gottschalk Valerius. Something close to that. Born on this date in 1709.
American astronomer and author Isabel Martin Lewis was born 137 years ago today. Also, Alexander Prokhorov, the Australian-Russian physicist and academic, Nobel Prize laureate, was born 102 years ago today.
And Venetia Burning, English educator, excuse me, who named Pluto, was born on that same date in 1918.
Wow, the same day it went out of the orbit for the last time.
Yeah.
Brazilian physicist and academic Cesar. What's the accent doing on the E? Cesar Lotz was born 94 years ago today.
I would have said lattes.
Lattes. lattes.
American-Canadian physicist and engineer Theodore Maiman was born in the state in 1927. And Italian physicist and academic Tullio Reggi was born 87 years ago today.
And also turning 84 today is Italian fashion designer who founded the Armani company, Giorgio Armani.
Hey! Good job, coach.
Quiet.
Pakistani physicist and academic Pervez Hoodboy. Hoodboy.
Hoodboy.
I don't know. He's 68 today. He's a good friend of mine.
Sounds like it.
Happy birthday to our listeners. On the 11th of July, Stephen Tro, a.k.a. Redneck Tech, Shadowbird 712. Oh, my goodness. It's his birthday again. That must mean it's July 12th. Oh, that's where the 712 comes from. I finally get it.
All these years.
Didn't he used to be Shadowbird 42? I'm thinking somebody else.
Maybe. There's a lot of Shadowbirds.
Francois Pommeville on the 12th also. Nicknamed Bookaroo. We haven't heard from Bookaroo in a long, long time.
We have not. No.
And on Lucky 713 is this Ben Raguntan.
Yeah.
Raguntan.
Raguntan. It's like they sell that beside the oodles of noodles. Don't they do that?
Yes. It's an Italian dinner. Happy birthday to all of you. And if it's your birthday this week, we wish you all the best.
Yes, even. I'll have the ragatoon in with the tomato sauce.
Ben, I'm not making fun of your name. It's these two.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead. Say it. Say his name.
Ben Ragatoon.
Just say Ben. You win.
Ben.
If you want to get on the birthday calendar, go over to chuckchat.com/wiki. We'd be happy to massacre your name at the appropriate time of year as well.
Yes, I challenge you. Bring it.
That's the way it was on this day in history for July 11th, 2018. Yeah, bring it, especially if you're a Russian physicist.
Right. Double bring it.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with some news and some hacks and strange stories, and I think we have a media corner as well, right? Sure.
Yes.
We'll go with that.
He's
scrolling ahead in the document. All right. We'll be right back. Don't check out of this hotel yet.
Take a facts-based journey through the cosmos with Astronomy Cast. Join me, Dr. Pamela Gay, and my co-host Fraser Kane, publisher of Universe Today, as we discuss not just what we know, but how we know it. Topics range from dark matter to why Pluto isn't a planet. Get your episodes today at astronomycast.com or look for us in iTunes.
Hi, this is Dean Hagel from The X-Files, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
I want to believe.
Geek Thoughts.
Huh. Why is it that I have to plug in my wireless router?
To plug in a lot of other wireless things too.
Yes, I haven't gotten a straight answer on that after all these years, by the way.
Shh, we just made that up yesterday. This is all new material.
Oh, excuse me. Didn't mean to break the illusion there.
Everything old is new. We're doing the Hollywood thing. We're just going to reinvent it. We'll re-edit it. We'll re-record all of those with our current technology to sound amazing.
We'll digitally enhance it and re-release it. Like the White Album. And
like every Star Wars ever made.
Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah. This time Craig shot first.
That's right.
Careful. Alrighty, our first story is of real news, and I know I saw the first half of this story, but this is the second half.
The bad half.
The bad half. Man, the pages are loading slow tonight.
Somebody needs to unplug their wireless router. And
yeah. Well, at least I shouldn't say anything, but at least the video stream's keeping up.
Yep.
All right, the bad news is that half of a bourbon factory warehouse collapsed. Well, oh no, the other half also collapsed a short while later. What was it, a few days? Maybe a week?
I want to say it was about a week or two between
Why wouldn't you be unloading? Well, maybe they were assessing the damage to see if it was safe. Because devastation always comes into the second half of the Barton 1792 Distillery Warehouse in Kentucky has collapsed, bringing the total number of dropped barrels to almost 20,000, or about 1,060,000 gallons of angry brown liqueur. For reference, that's more than enough to have gotten every cowboy in the Wild West drunk and falling off their horses into my loving arms. Geekology has some really interesting narrative, don't they?
Hey, as quoted by Chuck Tomasi.
That's right. There is a picture of the half-devastated warehouse, but okay, you'd think they would have started unloading.
Right at the top, the first picture is there, everything.
Yeah, that's related.
After the first collapse, spilled bourbon contaminating contaminating two nearby creeks, killing almost 1,000 fish. State environmental officials had said they would fine Cesarac Inc., parent company of the distillery, up to $25,000 a day. This time, the runoff contained by officials WLKY, LKY, for some reason it almost looks like it says Alky, reported.
Yeah. Alky?
As in Alky Hall.
That's unfortunate.
WLKY.
Yeah.
Or it should be WSKY. Ooh, there we are.
Yeah.
Whiskey.
Clever man.
Now the company is looking to build a new warehouse with hopes of salvaging the barrels that are still intact. That is going to take a long time to dig out that pile of barrels.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, what's cool about these warehouses, I was not aware of this until recently. I saw a documentary on bourbon on Hulu called Neat. And they were showing some of the warehouse. Actually, this distillery was one of them that they were taking a tour of, and as part of the documentary. The warehouses are kind of open aired, and so they allow the weather to just kind of not rain on the barrels, but the change in the climate throughout the year, throughout the years, affect the bourbon coming in and out of the wood on the casks. So this is more of it's a little more than just a roof, but it's really a roof and open windows and stuff holding this thing together. So it's not like a complete building that's, you know, got windows and everything and it's climate controlled. It's nothing like that. It's kind of cool.
Okay.
So when I saw this, I was like, I was just watching the documentary and saw probably one of those very ones, those warehouses. But that's why you see a lot of bourbon made in Kentucky, because the weather changes are beneficial.
I wonder if the weather affected the building's structural integrity. I mean, if they've been using this thing for 100 years.
Yeah, it's been this thing was either right at or right over 100 years old.
Yeah, and if you're open to the weather elements, then yes, the rain is going to... You know, wouldn't you have a periodic safety inspection?
I'm sure.
Right.
I'm sure they have. You know, things change, though. I don't know. Maybe the ground gave up under it. I don't know.
Right. Someone must have noticed that, like, hey, are all this building's about to collapse? Like, I don't worry about it.
Some of these floorboards are a little rotten.
Hey, a bunch of people come out from the woods and start licking the ground. They're holding up dirt, sifting the water out.
Squeezing it.
But yeah, I guess it's easy to judge after the fact, you know.
I'm just curious. Like beer, I'm not judging. Like, I'm questioning. Aren't there safety standards?
It looked like Bear Grylls holding up the elephant dung, drinking the water out of the.
All right. Who wants the next one about exoskeletons? I'm going to make this a little larger so the people on this end can see it. Well, for whatever reason, it's not enlarging too quickly.
Take it.
All righty.
All right. So exoskeletons could allow humans to work and play for longer.
Okay.
Exactly what I need. I need to play a little longer. So why would you put an exoskeleton that meant you could run for an entire day without getting tired? Would you? How about you, Jack?
Yes, but I would be thinking of aliens the whole time.
I know, right?
I would constantly say, get away from her, you know. I know it's a family show. We got a child brain.
Yeah. Yeah. What kind of exoskeleton would we be using?
I'm not so sure because if you could work all day and not be tired, would you be actually helping your body? Your muscles wouldn't be working like they're supposed to.
Right.
So what would be the benefit other than...
You know, I'm with you to a good point because you know, you look at people that have done a lot of manual labor over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, their bodies are still pretty strong.
Sometimes. I mean, depends on what they're doing. I mean, yeah, it depends on what they're doing.
I've seen some older people that are still very resilient because they've done a lot of hard work in their life.
Yeah, I've also seen a lot of older people that have joint problems. Their backs are out of whack.
It does depend on the person.
Right.
But I'm just saying, you wouldn't have that benefit of resistance or anything, you know, against your body. Used it for all your hard work.
I would want an exoskeleton that's not 100% effort free. It seems like you'd have to have some, maybe it amplifies you by 50% or 200% or something, but you still have to use some exertion to get it done.
Or maybe it's for older workers who can't really do it anymore, you know, because you're right. A younger person, they're working all day, but their body's not, their muscles are kind of, I don't know, are they even atrophying while they're working? Because they're not really doing anything. So maybe it is for someone who's like 70 years old, but still mentally there. But
that could be. Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, for people that needed help moving around, yes, absolutely.
This article goes into some really good questions, like the ethical, ethical questions. Professor Noel Sharkey, co-founder of the Foundation for Responsible Robotics, is worried about the idea of technology that allows humans to work for longer hours. You could have exoskeletons on building sites that would help people not get so physically tired, but working longer would make you mentally tired, and we don't have a means of stopping that, he told the BBC. Quote, we design these systems and then ask whether it might be misused. We need ethical design from the start, and I would design exoskeletons that switch themselves off after 6 hours. Oh, you're right in the middle of lifting a heavy box. Time's up.
Power off in 5, 4, 3.
Put it down.
It's like the Windows update alert. Rebooting in 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3.
1, 3. Oh, there's a bug.
Actually, I was thinking of if you had an exoskeleton to help you run all day, I was like, what the hell? Why don't you just get in a car?
Right. Cover more ground faster. No, an electric car. You want to be responsible.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too funny. All right. That's it for the news. Now on to some serious stuff.
Yeah.
All right. If our skies are more watched than ever, then why are UFO sightings going down? There's a head scratcher for you. And, you know, I was wondering the same thing, especially when we had the meteor that, or the, what was it, an asteroid or meteor that went across Russia several years ago?
Oh, yeah.
And it was filmed all over the place.
Yeah, that injured several people. Yeah.
I think this would be a good article for Jack. Okay. I don't know why.
The answer, of course, is cloaking technology. I mean, for you Star Trek fans, of course, that's the reason why we're not seeing them.
The UFOs have developed cloaking technology.
Right,
of course. That makes sense.
It's so obvious.
Yes. Yeah.
Eureka!
Oh, man, they got a lot of cameras down there. We better do something about that. It was a reactive thing.
Right, that's all. Yeah. All right. Next article. All right. Oh, bless you. All right. Reported UFO sightings have been declining in the United States for the last few years, according to the statistician tasked with making sense of all the data acquired by the leading civilian UFO investigation group. The Mutual UFO Network, MUFON, is a nonprofit that investigates reports of UFO sightings. The group encourages people of close encounters to report their sightings on the MUFON site. The organization claims it receives about 7,000 reports per month, but numbers have been on a steady decline since around 2012.
Mm-hmm.
There definitely has been a fall off of late, MUFON statistician David C. Quartz told Gizmodo. It hasn't been a straight line, but in looking at those numbers, it was a peak in 2012, and it's been a 30 to 40% drop from 2012 to 2017. Quartz is a retired statistician who is currently studying the data to learn more about UFO sightings, like where they occur the most and how they're changing over time. Quartz isn't the only one who has noticed the shift. Cheryl Costa, a writer who was named International UFO Congress's 2018 Researcher of the Year, International UFO Congress, she was the Researcher of the Year, recently reviewed reported sightings data from both MUFON and the National UFO Reporting Center, NUFORC.
MUFON and NUFORC. Okay.
Right, those are these names.
Right. Those are from like 1950s
flying saucer movies. I think we have some new RPG names. Next game I'm playing, these are it.
I am MUFON from the planet NUFORC.
Right.
She reported her findings to the Syracuse New Times. Her analysis showed that after a steady increase in sightings reports from 2001 to 2012, reports have been on the decline.
Hmm.
While both MUFON and NUFORC take online reports of sightings, MUFON field investigators examine reports and attempt to filter out hoaxes, mistakes, and objects that can be identified. According to Quartz, MUFON ends up clearing out about half the reports that people submit. I work with a highly filtered, highly clean data set, Quartz explained. With this data set, he hopes to see how certain UFO shapes, like saucers and triangles and colors, have increased or decreased over time.
Okay.
And he wants to find out which areas have more and less sightings after adjusting for factors like population and area size. But one thing is already very apparent. Fewer people are reporting sightings. Wasn't it just the Red Menace anyway in the 50s?
Well, you know, we could apply artificial intelligence to this now, and it'll come up and it'll say, not a hot dog.
Not a hot dog. Hot dog.
Well, it was a cigar-shaped vehicle.
Not a hot dog.
Any insights, Craig, as to why sightings might be going down?
I think in the current political climate, I think the UFO, the external or extraterrestrials have like given up.
No. Oh, I thought you were going to say something about aliens are not welcome.
No, I think they just gave up and decided we weren't worth it.
We're going to put a wall around the earth.
Yeah. Right. Well, since 2012, no, that's still bothering this place. Come back later.
Yeah. Oh, boy. There's nothing worth studying here anymore.
Yeah.
We've learned all we could learn from alien probes.
They're on their own. We're out of here.
All right. Next in the Hex and Strange Stories, drawing lines in the sand. Oh, this one's cool. I'm kind of bummed that I didn't think of this first.
Well, are you going to take it?
Go ahead.
Since you took my last one. All right. So strolling down the beach, there's always an urge to draw in the sand. It seems compulsory that to make your own mark by inscribing something. But there's a dilemma. How do you go about physically drawing it? You could opt to remain standing and attempt to deploy a toe. Okay. I like the way deploy a toe. but that requires a level of dexterity few possessed. The only other option is to bend down and physically use your hands. No.
You
can always use a stick.
A stick.
Or even a shell, maybe.
Okay? Or you take the cane from the old lady walking over there.
Yeah, just yank it out of her hand. Ultimately, there's no way to draw anything in the sand without losing your... Okay, I don't know if this person has ever been to the beach who wrote this.
Okay.
All right, so a solution. A robot, of course. The brainchild of Ivan Miranda. The idea was simple and elegant, elegantly executed. Make a large linear actuator, place it on wheels, and attach a servo, which it can position the etching tool, which is probably a shell, to be either in the sand or above it.
No, it's a little plastic tab that comes down and just scratches a line.
Yeah. So the whole contraption moves forward one column at a time, making it a vertical pass with the marker being engaged or disengaged as required. The columns are quite thin, giving relatively high resolution text, though it does mean it does take a while. Adding another servo and marking 2 inches. You know, it's just it's a printer.
It is. It's a printer. It's a sand printer. Yes.
It is pretty cool, though.
It is pretty cool. It's just really slow.
But I think it would be probably better where you use your time just grab the stick.
I think it'd be quicker to use the stick, frankly.
Yeah, than to grab taking this other. But no, this is really pretty cool.
It is cool.
I think it's a neat idea for a nice little hack. If you watch the video, he goes through taking it out and putting it on the beach.
His first printout was upside down. I thought that was kind of funny. He didn't know which way to go.
He forgot to invert it.
Right. I was just running right to left instead of left to right.
He should have just turned the camera around.
That would have worked too. But the time lapse thing was over.
The camera's in the beach house. That's the problem.
I want to know how you put new messages into it. Like, hey, will you marry me kind of thing? Or
it's Bluetooth.
That would be nice if that, it had that capability. If you could ramp up the speed a little bit.
Well, he did. With time lapse.
it seems to make these register marks above and below the text as well. I don't know what those are for. First, I thought they were tracks from the wheels, but the wheels are still another, foot or so out from that. So
maybe that was by design. Did he do that on purpose?
I think so.
It's dot matrix.
Kind of outline it.
It is dot matrix. It's really kind of bizarre.
Daisy wheel.
The number of beaches you could ride on would be fairly limited, I would think, because you'd have to have a lot of smooth, flat, wet sand.
You can do that in Myrtle Beach.
You'd need it in a tidal area. And there just aren't. Yeah, there's.
Wait a minute.
You can't.
This is coming from a guy who moved from a beachless state to another one.
I've been to many beaches. Many. Yeah, especially if they are. Well, you're not going to do this anywhere in Lake Superior. There's no tide. And all the wet sand is the last like 5 feet, and it's usually pretty steep.
And you could do this at Myrtle Beach, no problem.
You could do it. It would be an oceanside place, but again, not all oceanside places are going to work.
I remember the beaches in Galveston when we went there as kids. It was mostly kind of grayish sand. You could easily do this there too.
The ones we went to Mexico had lots of wet sand, but they were constantly inundated with waves. So like your thing would lay down 2 scratches and be washed away.
Yeah. What do you think, Jack?
I think the New Jersey beaches where I grew up, there's just way too much waste from New York. Wouldn't want to see it.
It's running along, it hits a garbage can, then it hits a body.
A printer's got hung up again on a piece of paper.
We found Jimmy Hoffa. That's not good. But hey, yeah, great hack. I love to see people do stuff like this. It gives me ideas of what I can do with my piles of electronics as well.
Hey, well, you got plenty of desert you could do this with.
Scratch it in the rocks? What are you talking about?
Dirt. You can...
Dirt?
Well, it's not Tatooine. Yeah. It's different.
Craig? Scott Tyler had to put in a new irrigation system, and they used a jackhammer. I don't think we're going anywhere near that with this.
Wait a minute. So he was putting in an irrigation system using a jackhammer. Do you think he really needed the irrigation system?
He hired it out. Well, if you don't want your lemon trees and your other trees to die, you got to water them.
Yeah, so but also remember
put the PVC in the ground, and in order to get it buried, you have to dig a trench, and it's not like you can just take out a garden shovel and do it.
Just do like his neighbor did and had that AstroTurf
ripped up.
Yeah, somebody AstroTurf stole AstroTurf
doesn't
of
grow
the
limes. Huh? AstroTurf doesn't fruit in the spring.
You can't abide to us. I don't know about you.
You get fruiting AstroTurf? What do you get?
It's new.
What do you get? Plastic tissue out of it?
Wait till the next article. It's in there. No, I'm just kidding. I don't
know. Speaking of tissue, yes, we have a creative new way of toilet papering your friend's house. And I'm sure this is going to catch on like anything in college environments.
Somebody went, why didn't I think of this before?
This is a video of a 20-year-old Teal drone CEO, George Matus, using a custom drone he built to toilet paper his company's chief operating officer, Billy McGuire's house, to celebrate his two-year work anniversary. But I thought paper was traditionally by the one-year anniversary gift. That's kind of odd. Yeah.
Cotton is for 2 years, in case you didn't know that.
Okay, so throw a bunch of cotton balls on his house now. So he's got his drone with two toilet paper rolls flying around, and man, you can cover a lot of trees and roof and everything with this. That is just a nasty, nasty job.
The scary thing is you can get the toilet paper over the tree, you know, like really good. Not like, you know, I haven't done this before, but you know, you kind of lob it.
Yeah, I haven't done it before, but it's really hard to throw over trees, my friend said.
My friend never said.
I'm just a man who celebrates every colleague's work anniversary by getting them drunk or trying to convince them to quit. How's that working out for you? I have three people sleeping on my couch right now. This is the article's author reading on. But I'm not how sure I feel about this. This just seems like a bad thing to promote, but funny as heck. Again, I praise the creativity.
Well, you know what's funny is, apropos about this whole thing is you have the toilet paper under the drone.
Yeah.
And if you ever seen anybody shoot toilet paper, like using a leaf blower, it just, because you got the air blowing it off.
Yeah.
The toilet paper is perfect because you got the air coming down off the drone and it's just pushing the toilet paper off.
It's kind of mesmerizing. Like watching one of those ribbon dancers.
Yeah.
He's got two of them. He's just
Look at how high he can get on the house.
He can go over the house, but yet stay within the yard. That's perfect. You're not bothering the neighbors at all.
It's also nice if you're in the bathroom and you run out, just call the drone.
Honey, send in the drone.
I have this bad feeling about pressing my Amazon Dash button next time, and this is how the toilet paper is going to be delivered by Amazon drone. Like, you know, don't deliver the toilet paper by drone, please.
Yeah. Note to Jeff Bezos, don't deliver it by it. Yeah.
That's just bad. Oh, we forgot the Hacks and Strange Stories note. Here, we'll play it a little later. Yeah. There. Good enough. Budget cut.
Quota's met.
We're taking on attributes of the topic as Trek now. One beep is all you get. One ping only, Vaselli. All right, quick shout out to the chat room, Craig.
This is for
all those wonderful people who join us at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Facebook to catch our show live, which you can do.
Yep, we got our mainstay, John Miller Jr.
I think he slept here last night in the chat room.
Yeah, he just never left. Scott Tyler.
Yep.
Megan Enlow.
Yay! Podcast junkie.
My old buddy Scott Parsons.
Yep.
And Rich Kasich, the guy we met at Dragon Con.
Yes, Commander Adama.
Yeah, he says, "What's up, geeks?" Not much. You're looking at it.
Shout out to you.
And guess what? I have a feeling we're going to see him at the lower level, you know, what, in the Marriott?
Again.
Yeah. Was it in the Marriott?
Either in costume or not, he's going to be.
He's going to be hanging out in that one spot. That's where we saw him twice in a row, two years running.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. It was just very bizarre. He's a very, very, very tough guy to miss. All right, thank you for joining us. And we also want to thank the patrons. That one, I almost hit the wrong button again this week. Thank you to our Patreon patrons. You make this show possible, certainly by offsetting some of the costs involved with hosting and upgrades, all kinds of stuff going on. We thank you so much. And in return, we give you not only our praise and thanks and mention you on the show every week, but we give you special content that's available only to you. For as little as a dollar a show, such wonderful people as Kyle Nishioka, Avner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, Megapodtastic, that would be our friend Joe, Crazy Joe, Night Gig Studios, that's our other friend, JT. I knew it started with a J. Gary Lindros. John Clifford. We'll see Gary at Dragon Con too, I suspect.
Yeah.
He said he was working on new costumes, though.
Ooh.
Yeah. We're going to have to keep tabs on that boy.
Yeah.
We do have a Facebook group for our last group of the parade, so we've got new members joining the parade. I'm going to finish this and then I'm going to mention something else. Leon, John Noble.
What? That John Noble?
Not that John Noble. Thank you. Oh. Chris MC, Alexis Duran. That's just becoming a tradition now. See what Ben and Keith do to this show? They're not even here, yeah. And they hijack the show. Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media.
That's Saturday Morning Media?
Yes, that's Saturday Morning Media.
Okay.
Steve Therian, Jorgis Rowan, John Miller Jr., and Your Name Here. Your name could be here if you want to donate. Go over to patreon.com/technoramapodcast and we would be indebted to you. Thank you very much. And the thing I wanted to mention is both Craig and I will be at Dragon Con this year.
Yes.
We will be doing a combined show again with Clinton Albert from Comedy Forecast. So the Comedy Forecast Technorama podcast. Do we have a name for this thing, or is it just
the family fun happy hour?
Yeah, okay.
Super fun happy hour, family hour, something
with your clothes on.
Yes.
We'll have other happy hour afterwards. And our other show, the topic is Trek. We will be doing a panel in the Trek track. Yeah, saying the topic is Trek in the Trek track is just one of those tongue twisters you got to work on.
That'll be our game. That's can say that 5 times fast.
It's terrific.
At Dragon Con after...
That's troubling. Terrific.
That's a travesty if you were to trip it up. This is going to be more fun. We don't have official dates and times yet or room numbers, but, well, the room numbers are probably going to be the same as all the other podcast track stuff and Trek track stuff. So we look forward to seeing you there and hope to say hi in real life if you happen to be at Dragon Con. We'll also be in the parade again. Our group is growing. We have Alila joining us this year, finally. We should have our 2 fries, 2 Zoidbergs. Sounds like I'm ordering something for dinner. I'll have the lobster and 2 fries. Hey!
And I hit no toad to finish it off. There we go. Hypnotoad.
The Hypnotoad, that's right. We're adding a Hypnotoad. And Nixon's Head in a Jar will be back again this year.
Nice. Yeah, I think I need to fix him a little bit. He's a little sideways right now.
Santa Bot, of course, will be finishing that up. Farnsworth got new prescription glasses.
Yeah, let's just update everybody on what Futurama's been up to since it got off the air.
I've gone from 1-inch thick prescriptions to about 4-inch thick prescriptions. I thought it looked more appropriate for the cartoon. A lot of fun. We want to see you there. We do have a topic for this week.
Go ahead and give that. I got something to say right after that.
In case you're interested in what sort of benefits you get for that free episode, my topic this week is, do you know what's on your network?
Our computer network or my
Your home family network. Network? Your home network. I did a scan, and there's a couple devices I know are mine, but I can't identify them.
How about you, Jack?
Now I'm going to go and look. See what my neighbors are up to.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. That's what I was wondering. I know I've got this thing password protected, but...
Right.
All right, what were you going to say, Craig?
Okay, so I put this in the feedback earlier. So let's reverse things and go back in time for a minute. Pretend we're still doing feedback. And we got more feedback. So this one is from John Noble.
That John Noble?
Yes, that John Noble. So he was referring to our question or the topic we were talking about, the security, messing with, your ability to talk to people.
Oh, yes. We were talking on last week's parody show about does the today's mindful security get in the way? I mean, you want to be conscious of, is somebody phishing or are they scamming me? Is this spam email?
Is a real phone call, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I got a legitimate phone call where somebody said, hi, this is so-and-so from United Health. And I didn't expect this call. I didn't know who they were. And turns out it was a legitimate call, but I my radar was off, like, well, I don't want to give them any information about my personal health or anything. So I said, I don't have time to talk to you right now because they wanted to spend time talking to me for 10 or 15 minutes. Yeah. And I had 5 until my next conference call. So
do you want to save this for the parody show? You want me to go ahead and read the feedback?
Go ahead and read the feedback.
Okay. So John Noble writes, back when I would answer calls that was in my contacts, I would answer the phone. Back when I would answer calls that was in my contacts, I answered the phone one day. A woman on the other side said that she was the AT&T operator and she wanted me to change my long distance service. Remember those days? You got to pick your service.
Yes.
So I told her that I did not respond to unsolicited phone calls. She then tried to convince me that she was who she said she was. She said if she wasn't the AT&T operator, who could she know? Then proceeded to name off a number of long distance phone calls I had made the previous month.
Oh,
I told her, yeah,
that's even scarier.
As fishy back in the day, fishy. I told her that I could not verify any of the information because it was an unsolicited phone call. She asked why. I told her that I could. How do you like that? I asked why. Well, I told her that I could. I could have hacked the AT&T database and downloaded this information. And now she was trying to get me to verify the information was correct. At this point, she was there was a deep sigh coming from the woman on the other on the phone. She knew that the point I was trying to tell her. She knew I was not going to tell her anything, basically, is what he's saying. But I did. I do not answer the phone if the number is not in my contact list. And I usually will Google the number to see if there are some complaints about it. And I have done that in the past, me personally. If there are, I then proceed to put the number on my block list. Of course, people coming to the door is an entirely other different topic, which my wife hates when I answer the door and it is someone trying to sell services.
Mm-hmm.
I tell them up front that I do not agree to buy anything from them. If they continue with the sales pitch, then game on. I try to see how long I can keep them going before they realize I will not buy anything from them. Thank you, John Noble.
We also missed a bit of feedback. We forgot Mad Marv's favorite number is 8008.
Yeah, well, I did have that in the show notes.
It's in the show notes, but I think, you know.
Was it 8008 or boob?
He did have it on a 7-segment LCD. Yeah.
Yes, I think it was.
I hadn't thought of that. I was going with the number.
That's why you keep me around, Chuck, to think about these kind of things.
5318008, right? Not boobies. Uh-huh.
7734 5. What was it? Shell oil. Mm-hmm. So, remember on the calculator? Yeah. 71077.
Oh yeah.
345. Yeah. Turn it upside down and say shell oil.
I just put hell on there. Forget the S.
Now I'm never going to look at the Intel 8008 processor the same way again.
Right.
Intel boob processor.
Hey, I want to see that come out. Wait, that didn't sound right either.
It's on the inside.
All right, let's scroll back down here. All right,
scrolling back down. We are on the media corner. Is that what we're wrapping up with this week?
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's do the thing.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Let's see. Jack has a sleeping baby in his arms. So I think it's Tiffany's turn.
Yeah, give it to Tiffany.
All right. Numerous news sites reported that as of this weekend, retailer Best Buy was calling it quits on CD sales, apparently all citing a report from Billboard in February giving a July 1st, 2018 kill date at the chain. That's not the case, though. It does appear to be true that Best Buy has made the fairly obvious business decision to begin phasing out CD sales in its U.S. stores. According to WSPA 7 News, reports of the total termination of CD sales at Best Buy are premature. Though the company says it is significantly reducing retail space dedicated to CDs, it will only offer select CDs. Who's going to make that choice? Earlier reports indicated that the big chain stores stopped selling CDs in their stores nationwide at July 1st, but Best Buy officials said that's not the case. And said they'll be still be selling CDs, but on a smaller scale. Didn't we just read that article, that paragraph?
I think this is somebody's quote from another article.
Oh, I see. Thank you.
It's an inset.
Yes, it is. That's correct. The way people buy by and listen to music has dramatically changed. And as a result,
really?
We're reducing the amount of space devoted to CDs in our stores. However, we'll still offer select CDs, vinyl, and digital music options at all stores.
But we'll keep selling film.
And to quote Perry White.
Right.
Water is wet.
In other words, people just aren't buying CDs anymore in an era when they can stream music or even just buy downloads of albums over the internet at a much more favorable price point. Digital music sales outpaced CD sales in 2015, and in 2017, downloads themselves were overtaken by streaming sales.
Wouldn't that be something if CD sales declined to such a point where vinyl sales outstripped CDs again?
I bet that's going to happen.
Because vinyl's on the rise.
That cross on the graph is coming.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought that vinyl would sell more than CDs at some point? Never in a million years. That's crazy.
I'm waiting to play all my MXLs again for cassette tapes to come back.
I'm going back to 8-track.
Well, you know, when CDs did come out, I mean, it's obvious to see the advantage as opposed to like a cassette tape. But to vinyl... other than being just a smaller device, what's the advantage
of what, CD to vinyl?
Yeah.
Clarity, capacity,
longevity.
I disagree.
Longevity. Yeah. It doesn't wear out. There's no friction.
Okay, longevity maybe.
Yeah.
Although there storage is a thing space. About, there's, yeah, you're right. Storage space. There's a thing about CD rot where it's turning out that CDs don't last forever. That's a whole different tech article.
How long is that, though? I still can play a CD that I bought years and years ago.
Right, right, exactly.
Wasn't that mainly for CDRs?
I don't remember.
Possible.
But still, hey, there's been records that are 100 years old and they still play.
Right, and, you know, vinyl heads just swear that that's the best sound quality you'll ever get. You know, people who are big into vinyl.
But we did see... HD vinyl. We've been talking about that last few weeks.
HD vinyl.
But it was more the compressed grooves than signal quality, I think. Was that right?
It was better quality.
Yeah. It was sharper grooves, I think it was.
All right. Well, just before the show started, we were coming up with a... Thank you, Tiffany, for reading that, by the way. Before the show started, we were kind of joking around and said, wait, this is good material for the show. So this is our question of the week for you. If you could invent a breakfast cereal, what would it be and what would you call it? I think it's a bit redundant, but we'll go with that. I guess you wanted some substance behind that instead of just a name like...
Well, I was kidding earlier. I said... I would make the D20s cereal. Yes. Roll a 20 every time, kids.
And you chew on those? How big are those things?
Yeah.
You get about one on your spoon? Like the size of a meatball?
I rolled a one.
Take your chance before you go to school.
I can see on the box we can have a, you know, it says cartoon cleric, you know, with rainbows coming out of his hand.
As we said, you know, there was the great 80s scare about, you know, Satan in your D20. So they'd have to put on the box, like, now with extra Satan. Two scoops of Satan in this box.
8 essential evils. 4-5. Oh, how did we miss that?
Love it.
You could go a long way with that D20 cereal. We want to know what your creativity is up. Didn't we also come up with the Ozzy Osbourne cereal?
Yeah.
It was just headless bats.
Right.
No, it should be the bat heads.
Just the heads?
Just the heads.
No, it would be like the headless bats would be the cornmeal stuff. And then the marshmallow bits could be the heads.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
But eventually it would get replaced with D.O.'s, with the Ronnie James D.O.'s.
The D.O.'s? What is it, just D's and O's?
No, it's because Ronnie James D.O. took over for Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath. He was his replacement.
Oh, that's right.
He was his replacement. Sorry, that was deep, deep metal geeking there.
I get it.
Sorry. It's, I ruined the whole show. I'm sorry.
No. we'll do the same thing with Steve Perry later. Take your cereal on a journey. I think we're getting worse.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the number jokes at the beginning of the show. That takes us to the end of this show. Thank you very much, Jack.
Thank you all. I was going to ask if you'd ever had a guest fall asleep during the recording of the show.
No, but I'll bet a number of our listeners do.
So you got some plans? You got some plans there?
Not the first one to fall asleep in the middle of Technorama, I'm sure. Yeah.
But I'll very briefly just pimp the Ideas Start Here podcast. That's what I do. It's vaccination science, and I've had some interesting guests. I've had Devin Townsend, the world-famous Canadian metal musician, as I just talked to him. So
all
Ideas
right.
Start Here.
And where can they find the usual podcast place?
Yeah, your usual place is Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, and websites.
Very good.
Thank you.
Tiffany, I shall subscribe.
Please do.
Tiffany, want to pimp anything?
I want to pimp my cute baby.
Your Instagram account?
Yeah. She's Holland J, hashtag Holland J. And she's asleep here. So you guys lulled her to sleep.
She is adorable. Thanks. She didn't have the headphones on, otherwise she'd be hearing all the the funny jokes. It's hard to fall asleep when you're laughing. Yeah, we'll go with that.
Okay.
let's take us out then. That music means there is ways to get a hold of us. You can call us on the listener line at 707-530-2428. We want to hear from you. Tell us about your cereal. Take a picture of it, like they do on Instagram these days. We also, you can reach us at technorama@chuckchat.com and find us. Just look for Technorama Podcast. You'll find us all over the place. If you really can't find us there, you just go to chuckchat.com, and there's a Technorama logo there. Thank you to Jack and Tiffany for stopping by.
Thank you.
And thank you to my lovely wife for running the video for us once again while we do this. Thank you for everybody who joined us on Facebook and watching on YouTube and all those other places. And thank you, Craig, for contributing all your hard work and effort and time into this show. You know what to do. It's the end of the show. Give us a binary high five.
Oh, 101.